T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Glad to have you here.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
That's my alarm to get down here to you all. I want to make sure I was here early.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Yes, it is a Football Friday, Clint, and I think good news for Tim Kelly, David Culley, and this offense. It was a bit bleak looking at the injury report the last couple of days. The Texans have had a rash of illnesses to a lot of players they like to get the ball to. Multiple starters, including Brandon Cooks, including Chris Conley, two starting receivers. Terrence Mitchell, their best corner, you can argue, was out with illness, as well as David Johnson. Well, today at practice, the last practice of the week before they play on Sunday, Cooks, Conley, and Terrence Mitchell all returned to practice with an illness. But, damn it, old bread and butter, old 31, David Johnson, he is still out and did not come back to practice, still out with illness. So at least they got three of those guys back, and their two starting receivers, because they were down Danny Amendola already. This is positive for Tim Kelly, because I'm not sure what the game plan would have been if he would have been missing guys like Cooks and Conley.
Well, I'm not real sure what the game plan is going to be anyway, but your point is very valid. Great news for the Texans. I mean, it's bleak offensively in terms of just weapons, just guys that you can get the football to that can create a little bit of separation, that can then have the ability to go make plays. The proven guys, at least, it's good to have two of them back. You got Brandon Cooks and Chris Conley, both of them back at practice today. Both of them being veteran players that, while you would hate for them to have to miss, which everybody missed Wednesday, you hate for them to have to miss Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But it looks like they're back for a perfect Friday practice to at least get one day of run through with the offense and before you play a ball game. So they're both veterans. They should be able to handle it okay. You just hope that whatever illness it was that they were out for, you hope that there's no lingering effects. No issues with their ability to play however many plays they need to play. Hopefully they're not on a snap count, if you will, having been sick. So good to have those wide receivers back. For sure, at least they'll have the numbers that they'll need. I mean, you were down to a point where you go, not only now are your numbers significantly down, but you have guys that really hadn't done much on an NFL field.
No.
So you're going to have the numbers back. You're going to have your veterans back. The David Johnson is still out. That situation is interesting because, you know, the Texans have been hell-bent on not just playing David Johnson, but ultimately featuring David Johnson.
He got six touches on the first drive.
Yeah, first drive. And he was on his way to his seventh when Tyrod Taylor threw the interception on the screen pass. So, this is one of those deals where if he's still out on Friday, that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no practice. I would be surprised if he plays on Sunday.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if he plays on Sunday.
There are a lot of coaches who have the rule of if you don't practice on Friday, that you may not play on Sunday.
If Culley has that rule, I would imagine David Johnson's going to be given the benefit of the doubt. He's going to be made the exception, right?
If he can
play Sunday. But nonetheless, it looks like it's going to be a Rex Burkhead and a Royce Freeman backfield for the Texans. I would imagine Rex will get the bulk of the carries, which I think it should have been that way.
David Johnson is injured or not.
Right? No question. Once they traded Mark Ingram, I think if just to the eye, when you watch the Texans, Rex Burkhead has more wiggle and more burst and more speed than anybody else at the position, and that was before Phillip Lindsay was traded. So right now, I think when you watch game time on the turf, cleats on the turf. I ain't talking about how fast somebody is when they break down the sideline with nothing but air and opportunity between them and the goalpost. I'm talking about the running back position, played between the hashes, ran between the tackles. Rex Burkhead is your best option. So it appears that the Texans are going to be forced, show, to give me more Rex Burkhead, which I've been asking for, and play a different running back, Royce Freeman, which I think we've all been asking for.
Yeah, I'm intrigued for that. Like, I was in there saying, as you were talking about it, I was saying to myself, you know what, I'm excited to see Royce Freeman. Then I said, well, let me pull back. Excited is probably strong. All right, I'm not excited any of it. But I am intrigued to see Royce Freeman. I'm intrigued to see someone else, as I was intrigued to see Scotty Phillips earlier in the year. I'm intrigued to see what Royce Freeman looked like. He was pretty good as a rookie with the Broncos coming out of Oregon. It'd be intriguing to see somebody else go if David Johnson can't go. And I think, right, if you had money, you'd lean towards a guy missing the last three days of practice, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You'd probably lean towards the fact that he wouldn't be active. And if that's the case, it is intriguing to see how Tim Kelly is forced to go in different directions in terms of who he's trying to get the ball to.
Well, this is the way it should work out. I mean, because Rex Burkhead and David Johnson what role do they have on this particular offensive roster? They're very similar. They're both would be good in the pass protection game, good third down backs catching the ball out of the backfield, and they're serviceable in the run game. That would be how they're described. That's not my opinion of either. That's just how that's the role that they both could feel. And that's really the role that they both best fit in terms of if you look at this running back room. And so really with David Johnson missing as much as he has, it should be an easy, hey, you shelve David Johnson for this Sunday's game, boom, you up Rex Burkhead's workload because of the same guy ultimately in terms of what they can do and what they can bring to the offense. And then Royce Freeman is the guy that you spell Rex Burkhead with. He's the guy that you give the first down or second down carry to that Tim Kelly just seems to call no matter what the situation is. You give that to Royce Freeman. He's the guy that if you get down in third down situations or you get down in the red zone, it's a long drive and Rex is tired. Hey, you can pop Royce in there and give him a couple of carries. So I think that's that ideally. The way it's set up, that makes perfect sense.
You're right. That, like, if you weren't dealing with an orthodox group here with the Texans, the thought would be, all right, David Johnson's clearly sick in some fashion. Hey, this gives us a chance to see what we have in Royce Freeman. This gives us a chance. Right now, we're 2-9. This gives us a plausible reason to see what we have.
No question.
In a new player, a young player in a game situation. But they're different, right? And their thought may not be that. Their thought may be, all right, Dave, can we get you right? Can we get you some orange juice and 7-Up? Can we get you right? Instead of the thought of this could give us an opportunity to see more of Royce Freeman now that he'd be the backup back instead of three deep in this vote. So we'll see.
Never know what this crew is going to do, but it appears from the outside looking in like a very easy answer. Rex Burkhead brings everything to the table that David Johnson does. In fact, he's a better runner between the tackles. And Royce Freeman is a back that can definitely be a second string, a relief back, if you will, if not more. So it should be an easy answer, but we'll see.
Overall, as we're talking here, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, Tyler producing this was going to be a close call for Tim Kelly in this offense, the potential of losing David Johnson, Chris Conley, Brandon Cooks in this game. But it looks like Cooks and Conley are back to practicing, and they're there. Also, Clint, I think potential good news, the center, and maybe the leader of that offensive line, Justin Britt. He was back on the practice field, full pads. He looks like he's close to being ready and potentially could be out there at center for the Texans, and they have missed him and his leadership out there. That could be a big move for them.
Yeah, I actually saw a picture in pads practicing on Friday. So that's a good, that is a great sign. And there's no doubt about it that would be an upgrade. He's one of the guys up front for me with this particular Texans offensive line that, you know, I'm still excited about Justin Britt. I know there's been, obviously, there was a rough start to the season. There's never been a game where, or multiple games or a run this season where you feel like what they're doing up front is the answer. However, Justin Britt, and on top of that, Justin Britt came in injured, and hell, he's been injured for the last few games. But nonetheless, I think Justin Britt is a guy that could be a Texan long term. Getting him back will help this week, no question about it. But I'm excited about getting him back and being able to watch the guy play. I mean, I don't look, win, lose, or draw. I don't care who the offensive coaches are.
So that's a spot where you're not like, boy, I want to see more Jimmy Morrissey.
I don't need to see more Jimmy Morrissey. I want to see Justin Britt running the troops. I want to see him up front. You know, again, win, lose, or draw, run the ball well or not. I don't care about all that. There's a lot goes into it. I want to see Justin Britt get through a six-game run here if he's going to play. Hell, just because he was at practice doesn't mean he's going to play. But when he does get back on the field, whether it's this week or next week, yeah, I want to see him four, five, six games make a run and really settle in as the center for the Houston Texans instead of just being a veteran that's had a lot of experience, that's done well, bring him in after a big-time injury and he gets a brief stint early in the season and then we never hear from him again. Yeah, I would like to see him get a good run of five or six games here late in the season because I do think he's a guy that could be a big part. Now, it's going to be flying to the radar because he's a center, but he is a guy that if the stars align for him and his career – could really help the Texans over the next several years to get this thing right up front for sure.
Yeah. So what's the line you would want to see tomorrow in their positions? Let's say Justin Britt is healthy enough to be back. What's the line you want to see tomorrow?
You give me Titus Howard at left tackle. You give me Lane Taylor at guard. You give me Justin Britt at center, McCray at guard, and Heck at right tackle. That right there to me would be an improved offensive line from what we've seen. And I think that they're moving in the right direction. We would have seen Taylor now for two games. McCray, I don't know if he was in concussion protocol yesterday. I don't know if he's going to play or not. But if that group can get in there with Heck at right tackle, I think we got a chance to get a good look at some veterans, along with a young left tackle that I think has got a really high ceiling. It gives Texans fans, I think, an opportunity to see some guys that could legitimately help them through. Help this team through the next few years of this rebuild. You know, Max Sharping, I think he's a backup at this point for me. I don't need to see any more starting.
Yeah, I don't need to. We'll see. And Justin McCray coming off a concussion, we'll see what happens there.
Right, and Heck probably is a backup as well, but it's what they've got at right tackle right now. But I'd like to see that offensive line and get a good look at what this thing may look like in the next couple of years.
Yep, as Laremy Tunsil continues to try to build strength back up, we'll see.
He's in the weight room still.
We'll see when he gets back. Hey, stay tuned. Nick Caserio coming up on Tuesday morning at 7:30. He'll be on exclusively with Payne and Pendergast, so you don't want to miss that. Keep those calendars ready for Nick Caserio, the general manager, 7:30 with Payne and Pendergast. Coming up, a really odd Thursday night football game last night, and the Cowboys got the W, but they looked like their same old selves, and that's not necessarily a good thing. We'll explain what that means coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right, baby, Clint. It was an interesting Thursday night football game yesterday. We talked about it there with the injuries that the Saints had, what they had, neither one of their tackles, no guard, their starting tight end was out, their starting quarterback was out. Michael Thomas has been out all season. They had guys out on the other side of the ball. The best pass rusher was out of the game. We said there is no way that the Dallas Cowboys can lose this game if they're Super Bowl contenders. Now, they didn't lose it, Clint, and it looks good. 27-10 does not look bad. But I sure as hell didn't come away from that game thinking, all right, man, Dallas just beat them 27-17 or 27, whatever the hell it was. I didn't come away thinking, boy, that's the Dallas Cowboys that I'm willing to say, all right, they're going to go in and beat Green Bay or Arizona to get to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. You're spot on, right? I mean, if you're in the last 6 weeks of the season and you're a team that should be making a push for a Super Bowl appearance, a NFC Championship game appearance, then you're not happy with that game last night. If you just want to say, oh well, it's the NFL, it's a long season, it's hard to win in this league, then sure, you can be happy with it. But if you're the Dallas Cowboys and if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan and you watch that ball game last night, you're lying if you say you walked away confident. Look, here's the fact of the matter. If the Saints would have had a real quarterback playing quarterback last night, they would have won that ball game. They would have won. That was a 20-10 ball game late in the fourth, and a pick six by a former Texan actually is what took it 27-10. But that was a 10-point game in the fourth, and the Cowboys were trying to give it away. Taysom Hill is not a quarterback. I don't care what anybody says. You can tell me about the bad finger. He had a bad finger, no question about it. Doesn't require surgery, by the way. I just saw the report. It's not as bad as Russell Wilson's injury was. Same injury, but not as bad. He's gonna play through the pain. No question about it. Look, I admire the guy for how tough he is and how he plays the game. But damn it, he's not a quarterback. I mean, he missed throws last night before and after the finger was injured that you can't win with. You can't win. You can't game plan if you're a quarterback. I don't care how athletic he is. If he can't make those throws, there was a throw in the ocean touchdown that he threw probably 5 yards behind the receiver. And there was multiple throws that he threw. They're behind the receiver in real time, but if you really look at where the quarterback should have been throwing the ball, they're missing the target by 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. I mean, it's not even close. And so,
these are throws you could probably make.
I'm 43 years old right now with hamstrings that would pop if I tried to get my knee to hip height.
That's right.
I can make the throws right now. No question about it. They're that, and I'm not saying that I'm good. I'm saying they're that easy of throws if you know what the hell you're doing and if you naturally have the ability to throw the football, to spin the football at a high level, you can make those throws. He doesn't. He's not a quarterback. Doesn't matter how you slice it. And the point there is if the Cowboys would have been playing a normal quarterback, in fact, if they'd have played Trevor Siemian last night, the Cowboys would have lost that football game. That's how strongly I feel about it. Now, let's get to the Cowboys. Right. The fact of the matter is, you can't trust them. You can't trust the Cowboys. And if you're watching that game, a perfect example of the mindset that scares me the most about the Cowboys was Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott last night. About 6 minutes left in the game, Dak Prescott maybe been less than 6 minutes, maybe around the 5 minute mark. He throws a pick, trying to drive the football down the field into traffic when he shouldn't even be throwing the football. There's less than 6 minutes left in the game. You got a 10-point lead. They run the ball on first down for 5 or 6 yards and then try to drive the football down the field, down the seam, into coverage, and it ends up being an interception. And it's that mentality is precisely why you can't trust the Cowboys. And it's not just Dak. Yeah, Dak's got to know better than to make that throw. But damn it, the offensive coordinator should have never put him in that situation. You ran it for 7 or 8 yards, maybe 6 yards on first down. You turn around, you run it on second down. You make New Orleans waste what timeouts they had remaining, and when they run out of timeouts, you chew the clock up. I mean, you don't throw the football into traffic in an ultra-aggressive fashion at that point in the game. If you're a championship-caliber team with a championship mindset, you don't do it. And that's exactly why I just cannot trust the Cowboys. And that one play right there, show, is indicative of my overall problem. Their willingness to just throw it 50 times a game if they feel like it for no reason, it puts me in a spot where I can't trust them. Their willingness, they got the ball first and goal from the 6-yard line, and they'll throw it 3 times and kick a field goal. Their willingness to, not that they'll do it all the time, but their willingness to do those kind of things sporadically is exactly why I can't trust them, man.
No, it's hard. As we look at the Cowboys, like it's hard to come away with what we saw last night, think the Cowboys or Super Bowl contenders, which many people were saying. Many people, and I'm not going to lie to you, I felt like this was a different squad. I didn't think, I wasn't to the point where I was like, man, Dallas is just good because they're in that division. I thought Dallas was good because they were good. And just they're in that division like New England was in a bad division for years. But I look back at it and it's like, that's not going to get it done against Arizona or Green Bay. Hell, that's not going to get it done against some other teams. And the big point is, we talked about it yesterday. In this game, because of how bad and how messed up the Saints offense is and how good the Cowboys defense is, this should never be a game where it gets away from the Cowboys that they don't have to run the ball, where they feel like, all right, man, that the game has forced us to have to stop running the football like we want to. What did they do yesterday? Dak threw the ball 40 times. Why? You're winning the whole time.
The whole time.
He threw it 40 times. Tony Pollard had 7 carries for 71 yards. They had a huge long touchdown run, and he had 7 carries. There was no reason for them to throw it 40 times in that game.
Well, there's the only reason, show that I can watch and justify it, is if the on the other side, other end of those passes, you've got soft corners and wide open high percentage throws. But that's the point is, that's not what the Cowboys are getting. They're constantly trying to throw it down the field into coverage. And all I'm saying is, just because you struggle running the football for a half don't mean you vacate the run. Just because you struggle running it the first drive don't mean you vacate the run, especially when the other team, obviously the only way the Saints had a chance last night were if you turn the football over offensively, if you went out there and got your quarterback, got the hell beat out of your quarterback because you're dropping him back, sitting him back in gun and dropping him back, and then talking about, well, we just don't have all our offensive lines not healthy. Well, then quit telegraphing to the whole country that you're gonna throw the football every damn down. I feel like I beat a dead horse with the Cowboys every time, but it is precisely why I feel that way.
I just don't know what Kellen Moore was sitting there thinking, man. Let's just throw this thing 40 times.
Oh, I agree with you.
You've watched their games, especially this year in success. It's like Dak's in there between 18 and 25 throws. And they are running the football, and they're running Zeke, and they're running Pollard.
Well, they need to. That's the other topic here with the Cowboys. They need to shelf Zeke. I mean, Zeke's hurt. And right now, Tony Pollard's a better running back.
Need to switch the roles.
Right. Well, I don't agree with everybody in a standpoint of, well, you know, to heck with Zeke. Zeke's, they got two different skill sets. Like, Zeke is a grown-ass man in pass protection. He's a grown man in short yardage. But that I agree that Pollard needs more touches, but I disagree that Zeke needs to go, you know, fall by the wayside big picture. Right now, they need to shelve him and get him healthy. But they need to even that thing up moving forward to where Pollard gets as many touches. That's for damn sure.
At least that, or switch roles, at least that. At least 50-50. Because, yeah, he just has an explosiveness that Zeke doesn't have.
No question.
And he showed it last night, and they said, nah, we're good. 7 totes. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. All right, listen, one of the big things that's going to be talked about with the Texans moving forward is this draft. They're going to have a high pick right now. They got the 2nd pick overall if the season ended right now. They could have more picks in the first round, more picks in the top 10, depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson. Nobody knows college football in this city better than John Harris. John Harris will join us coming up next. We'll see what he thinks could be good moves for the Texans in the draft moving forward. That's coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, man. This is going to be a conversation that we are going to be having from this point on all the way until the NFL draft. What are the Texans going to be looking at? What are they going to have? And nobody better to talk about that. Nobody at all. John Harris, who always has his top 100. One of the best in the business, covers the draft and knows these college players inside and out. And we're lucky enough to have him here with us. John, appreciate you jumping on with us. I'm curious for you, what do you think the Texans are going to have coming up in this draft. We know that they're potentially going to have their high pick. Right now it's in the two slot. But what do you think they're potentially going to have in terms of picks in next year's draft?
Ooh, boy, that's a good one. I can't remember if you – first of all, thanks for having me, guys. I can't remember who it was I was listening to this week. Maybe it's Sean and Seth talking about it, threw it out there. You guys may have been talking about it. I can't remember exactly. But mentioned, hey, the Giants have got two picks in the top seven or eight right now because they've got Chicago's pick and then they've got their own pick. You know, hey, would you take that straight up, just those two first-round picks, obviously plus the one you have, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, we got three picks in the top eight, which is fantastic from getting players. The only time it becomes problematic is now you have three contract decisions all in the same year, which could get a little dicey, but you know, I'll deal with that. I'll just take some first rounders in the building. So it'll be interesting. My guess is that I would probably go to Vegas and say, yeah, they'll have one in the top 10 for sure. And my guess would be that a trade, they would try and get another in the top 10. And if not, if they got one somewhere between 10 and 15, they could live with that. But this, to me, is a draft that's got – when I did my top 10 last Friday with Seth, I unveiled that top 10 and I unveiled my top 100 last night at footballtakeover.com. My top 10, I look at every single pick and went, yep, 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 yep. Every single one of those guys I could take and put on this roster. I mean, today. I could take every single one today. Healthy, I'd take them today, and they could go play against the Colts and make an impact in this game. So there's going to be possibilities for this team to add an impact player, I think, in this top 10 for sure.
Footballtakeover.com. I'm looking at it right now, John, and you mentioned the top 10 that you have out there. The thing that I notice right off the bat is, I mean, you got a little bit of everything. You got, I mean, yep. Regardless, yeah, the Texans need a little bit of everything. There's no question about that, yeah. from a talent standpoint. But yep. The top 10 of this draft, at least the top 10 of your Harris 100, you got a little bit of everything, man. You got a safety. You got a really good corner. You got some edge rushers. You got some offensive linemen. Which one of these guys do you think, and I'm going to put you on a spot here.
Sure.
You got top 10 here. Which guy do you think is the biggest lock to have success at the NFL level?
Well, I think it was Landry Locker said earlier, he quoted Dane Brugler, which I almost texted him like, bro, you cut me hard. You should be quoting me. And he said, Dane said, look, Hutchinson and Thibodeau are the two. I think Kyle Hamilton, to me, I mean, I put him at number one, but it's not often that you find 6'4", 221 to play safety with range, with hitting ability, with the ability to cover a man-to-man, to play down in the low box, to play half-field coverage, to do all the different things that Kyle Hamilton can do. I just don't know that you find anybody. And I know when you say a particular position, you go, oh, man, that's not a priority position. You say safety. You're like, that's not a priority position. But the way that he plays the game, he can play a couple of positions for you. He can do any number of things. He's not going to come off the field in any way, shape, or form. And I know to some old heads, when they hear me say this, they're like, whoa. But to me, when I saw Kyle Hamilton the first time, I hearken back to a guy that I saw that I still think is the greatest football player I've ever seen play, and that's Sean Taylor, who played safety at the University of Miami. He played for the Washington football team. I just thought Sean Taylor, there wasn't anything Sean Taylor couldn't do on a football field. I mean, in his senior year at Gulliver Prep, he ran for 45 touchdowns. I mean, he was the best running back, best receiver they had. And oh, by the way, he was a top-notch safety. When he was at Miami, he had 10 interceptions. I think Hamilton could be of that ilk in the NFL and play at that particular level. That's who he reminds me of. And I hold Sean Taylor in high, high regard. So I think Kyle Hamilton could be that kind of player. But look, Hutchinson and Thibodeau were so close for me. I mean, I had Thibodeau, I mean, a hair in front of Hutchinson on Friday. Then Saturday, Hutchinson just goes crazy. And I didn't want to get caught as, you know, kind of a prisoner of the moment, if you will, because Thibodeau has had games like that this year too. I mean, he dominated the UCLA game. He was incredible against Washington State as well. It's just that Hutch did it against Ohio State on the biggest, you know, stage he could possibly do it. I don't think you go wrong with any of those top three. If I got to take a lineman in that group, I think Evan Neal is, even though I've got him rated ahead of Ikem Ekwonu from NC State, I think Ekwonu is everything that I want a football player because he wants to hurt you on every play. I mean, he plays the game as violently as you're supposed to play it. and whether it's guard. I think a lot of people thought of him as a guard, but if you go back and watch 2021 this year, I think you see that the traits of being a tackle, and I would love, I mean, like I said, any of those guys at the top 10, but I think Ekwonu is a guy with his power and his athleticism. He comes from a highly athletic family. I think Ekwonu from out of NC State can play any position on the line, but I'd probably play him a tackle and then figure it out from there. But I think he is one nasty, nasty dude. And I actually got a center in the top 10, and I know people are like, wait a second, a center? You might as well put a punter in there. No. This center from Iowa, Tyler Lindenbaum, you'll get a chance to see him this weekend. He might be the best zone-blocking center I've ever seen. He is a nasty, nasty dude. And he was a wrestler. We've heard that before. But, man, he was a good one. In fact, there's a video out there of him taking down and pinning former Iowa teammate Tristan Wirfs, who's one of the best tackles in the NFL. And Lindenbaum just took him to school. And there's video of that from a wrestling standpoint. And that's the way he plays the center position. I'm telling you, he's the best center I've studied, I think, maybe ever. So I think there are some guys that I would say are pretty, I don't know if I would say locks, but I would feel very strongly about being successful at the next level.
Talking to John Harris, Texans analyst, sideline reporter, also puts footballtakeover.com together, which I encourage everybody out there to go check it out, because it's as in-depth and detailed of really any whatever work he's doing on there. Right now we're talking about the top 10 in terms of the draft this year, the top 10 college prospects. John, I love what you said, because here's to me what sticks out. You talked about, you're talking about Kyle Hamilton. I've seen in my time playing, I played around some really good safeties, Darren Woodson, Roy Williams, and so I played against some really good ones in the league and played with Kanoy Kennedy, who was a great safety.
Yes.
But you're right, Sean Taylor. I remember when I was in Miami, we were playing the Redskins in the preseason, and Sean Taylor he was out of the game by the time I got in there, but he was an absolute monster. And the size with that athletic ability, just there's been three or four guys maybe ever. Steve Atwater was another safety that, yep, I know personally really well. Uh-huh. But with that freakish size and athletic ability, that's the kind of guy that I want to see the Texans take. Not just a guy that measures well. Right, I mean, you talk about Kyle Hamilton in the safety position, and you mentioned some traits that just are rare in the last 20 years. And you mentioned the two offensive linemen, Ekwonu and the Lindenbaum kid. Like to me, those are when I hear you talking about them, I hear the same. I get the same feeling that I remember people talking about. What's the kid's name that's at Indy right now? The guard at Indy.
Nelson. Oh, Quentin Nelson.
It's like hearing you say that, I'm like, hell, it sounds like some of the things I heard about Quentin Nelson back in the day. Like, those are the kind of traits that I want my team to take in the first round. Not just the guy that ran a 4.3 or the guy that's got crazy long arms and he's 350 and played with a national championship. Yeah. Those just little bit different, those rare athletes, that's exactly what I hope the Texans do is go after one of those guys you mentioned.
Yeah, no doubt. The one thing that stood out to me is I've talked to Nick Caserio in our different conversations that we have is, height, weight, speed matters. I mean, you got to have guys with elite traits. There's no doubt. You got to have guys with elite traits. But if those guys have elite traits and they step all over themselves and they go on a field, then what good are they? You know, I mean, why even have those guys out on the field from that particular perspective? The thing about Kyle Hamilton is 6'4". If I don't know if y'all are watching Hard Knocks in season, but there's, I think it was episode 1. Darius Leonard is kind of having a little mini fit. He's like, why y'all want to make me weigh all the time? I'm 220 pounds. Well, Kyle Hamilton's 221 and plays safety. I mean, that's the kind of freak we're talking about here that I put at number one. But you combine that with the way he plays, and I think it became kind of a viral moment. And as I saw it happen, I was like, well, I know that's going viral, but I've seen Hamilton do so many things like that. But against Florida State in the first game of the year, it was on Labor Day night. He's playing a middle third cover, so he's in the middle of the field. And there's a wheel route that goes on the sideline, and Notre Dame screwed it up, and there's a guy open. And the ball gets floated. It's not thrown well, but either way, Hamilton comes out of the middle of the field, sprints over, and is literally waiting for the ball to come down to make the interception. And I just remember seeing that go, well, that's just another one. That'll be one they show on the NFL draft because that's such a – you don't see safeties doing that. And I've said this, and this is kind of my little tangent. I sort of hate the depth chart, and I hate position nomenclature because here's another one. When you say the words tight end, what's the – I mean, you see the words tight end. What's the first thing you think about? Well, for a lot of people, they think about Mark Bavaro, or they think about a guy that puts his hand in the dirt. He's got a block. I mean, tight end is so different and varied now that you're not getting the same thing. Like Jalen Weidemeyer at Texas A&M and Trey McBride at Colorado State both play tight end, and they couldn't be more different. But they play tight end. And I think safety's kind of the same way. Well, he's a safety. Well, there's so many different schemes and things that safeties are asked to do that when you have a guy like Kyle Hamilton can play in all of them. And look, you can bring Justin Reed back, and I hope Justin comes back. You can put Hamilton with Reed, and oh my gosh. I mean, you can bring Eric Murray back. Bring all three of them back. I don't care. You're going to have Kyle Hamilton on the field for as many downs as you could possibly want. Now, do you want to go safety? Is the safety going to be there where you're going to pick? Is Hamilton gone by then? I don't know. Here's the other thing, too. Hutchinson and Thibodeau, I've heard so much about them. And look, they're excellent football players. Do not get me wrong. They're not Von Miller. They're not Julius Peppers. They're not Myles Garrett. They're not twitchy beasts off the edge. That's not what they are. They're really good, skilled, athletic football players with a really good pass rush repertoire. But they are not Von Miller. They're not that kind of guy. They're not the Boses. They're not even, yeah, you know, TJ at that point. TJ Watt. I mean, they're really good athletes. Kyle Hamilton's an elite level safety. Now, I know it's not a priority position, but I look at it as if this guy can play two or three different things for me, then that dude's elite in my mind. So I would absolutely, I mean, that's why Kyle Hamilton was number one for me, you know, just ahead of Thibodeau and Hutchinson, which easily could have been tied at number two. But I put Thibodeau first and Hutchinson third, and may change my mind as we go through. But I think Hamilton, if he's healthy, he'll be number one for me all the way through.
John Harris with us. John, that's you walked right into what I wanted to get from you. Is we talked about it earlier, and where you're saying, man, they could have one, they could have two or three picks in the top 10. And that sounds great, right? If we came into this year, you're like, oh, my God. I mean, we're going to have a field day with it. The Texans got the number 2 pick. They got the number 8 pick. They got the number 7 pick. That sounds great. But the Texans desperately need difference makers. And what I'm wanting to know from you, everything you described, how many actual difference makers are there in the top 10? Like, how many guys where you say, all right, boy, they get him. I hear you on the safety with Notre Dame, but how many guys actually are? Because if you're saying Hutchinson and Thibodeau, like they're not Von Miller, they're not up there, well, then, hell, I mean, those are the top guys. Then what other guys down the road are difference makers? Because that's what the Texans need.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And I don't want to take away from what those two guys do. I just want to make sure, Ron, when I say that about Hutchinson and Thibodeau, the immediate thought is, well, hell, if you're going to take one of them at number one or one at number two, the immediate thought is, well, they're going to be Myles Garrett. It's like, no. Miles is different, dude. Well, they're going to be Von Miller. No. Von's different. The Bosa's, no. But they're still going to make a significant impact. I mean, look, you tell me, you guarantee me right now Aiden Hutchinson is going to be healthy coming to Houston. Man, I'll do a little dance. I'll love it. I mean, Thibodeau, same thing. I mean, any one of those three guys in the top three, I would take. Now, here's the tricky thing, and you guys know ball as well as anybody, but you also know how fans react to offensive linemen getting drafted. You know it's like, all right, I know we need it, but okay. If you do draft an offensive lineman early, and there are some good ones early, and look, just like any draft, I think there's depth throughout. I think the tackle position, but just using that as an example, there's some dudes. Now, there's no other center like Lindenbaum, but I don't know if you want to take a center in the top five. I mean, that's a discussion to have. But he should be that highly rated, and I think he makes an impact. But you know how it is with offensive linemen. But I'll tell you this, a guy like Ikwanu, a guy that knocks people on their wallets, and that's how did Quentin Nelson get why were the people in Indianapolis so excited when Quentin Nelson was drafted, outside of the fact he went to Notre Dame? Because they could go on Twitter and social media and show their buddies, hey, this is the guy the Colts just drafted. Look at this. And he's knocking a Georgia outside linebacker on his wallet. If Texans drafted, let's just say, Ikem Ekwonu from NC State, I can go find your video and go, hey, get excited about this. And he's mauling dudes. It's not just, well, I'm going to dance with this guy, I'm going to protect my quarter. No, he's taking and snatching dudes' souls. So from that perspective, I think there are some impact players at a number of different positions that I would really get excited about. The one thing you're not going to find in the top 10 for me, at least not this year, but I do think this team is going to definitely need, and I think it's a solid class, just maybe not a high-level guy as running back. I think there are some solid players at running back, and we'll see who declares, who doesn't. I mean, all the top guys right now are juniors, and nobody's declared other than DeMarvin Leal from Texas A&M that I know of. But guys like Breece Hall, Isaiah Spiller, Kenneth Walker III, I mean, those would be guys I would get totally excited about. They can have an impact on the team because there really isn't anything that should be standing in their way by the time we get to 2022. Those three guys, man, if you ended up with, just hear me out, say you get a quantum from NC State and everybody goes home Thursday and they're like, well, you draft offensive lineman, and then you come back in the second round and you draft Kenneth Walker or you draft Isaiah Spiller from A&M, fans can see Spiller play and understand it. They'd be excited about that. Like, oh, man, all right, I can see that combination. Like, okay, they can get excited about that. And I think that's one of the big things. The Texans, we have got to find players that fans can get excited about and then go buy an Isaiah Spiller jersey. Or, you know, I don't know if you'd buy an offensive lineman jersey, but look, I went to Indianapolis. I've been in Indianapolis. You know what jersey I see more than any other jersey? Number 56. It blows my mind. I see more Quentin Nelson jerseys up in Indianapolis than any other city for offensive linemen. It's crazy. So it can happen. And if you get an impact player like a Linderbaum, or you get an Iquanu, or you got an Evan Neal or somebody like that, that you can watch physically take over a game and you can get behind that dude, like, yeah, that's our dude right there. Watch him put this guy. Oh, man, that's a great viral moment. And you know that's your guy. You'll go buy a jersey that's number 73.
Johnny,
you'll go buy a 56 jersey.
Johnny, let me tell you something. They make a trade and they end up with multiple top 10 picks. I don't care who you take it, you know, with one of them. But if you say you have three and you end up with a Iquanu and Linderbaum as two of your cool top 10 picks, you hire me as a sales manager. I'll help you sell that. That is it. I mean, that is where you start building, is inside. Yeah. And if you're telling me that those two guys right there are the dogs that you say they are, and sure, they're big, they're technically sound, all that, but they're the dogs you're telling. Hey, I'll sign up for it all day long, brother. Ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I use the Colts as an example. Obviously, we're gonna see him on Sunday, but in 2018, they drafted in three consecutive picks Quentin Nelson, then Darius Leonard at the top of the second. And then in the second, they had a second. They got Braden Smith. They got 40% of their offensive line in one draft, and it changed the entire paradigm for that offense. All of a sudden, it became run the damn ball. And they did. And now you can't stop them. Before they got there in 2018, the Colts offense was just, it was T.Y. Hilton when he came to Houston and not a whole lot else to get excited about. Now those fans get upset when you're up there and they're not running the ball, because they rely on Nelson and Braden Smith in particular. So you can make a serious paradigm shift by adding to that offensive line and really bringing in hosses like, man, Iquanu, dude, I'm telling you. I'm just going to tell you. I can't say it on radio, but it moved.
All right, John, man. We could talk to you about this for hours. Unfortunately, man, we got to get out of here. But we'll be listening to you after we get done here on Texans All Access. But we always enjoy your insight. And this draft thing's going to be fun, man. This ain't going to be the last time we reach out to you.
You got it, boys. Anytime you want it, just give me a shout. Love it. I'm going to hang up and listen. See you guys.
There you go. John Harris right there. Like I said, make sure you stay tuned and listen. He'll be coming on right behind us with Texans All Access.
Check out footballtakeover.com. I stay plugged in. It's a good one now.
There you go. All right, coming up, the latest here, the Texans got some good news on the injury front with guys they thought maybe out. But now this just breaking here in the last couple of minutes, one of their young players, we got to keep an eye on. He may miss the game coming up on Sunday. We'll discuss that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.